So I'm going to talk. I'm going to share my testimony. I am going to preach. And a lot of the time when I'm preaching, I'm not just kind of preaching at other people. I want to be part of the blessing. I want to receive the blessings because I don't want to miss what God has for me. So, with that same mindset, I'm going to ask you to stand so we read the Word of God. In the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 14 and 15. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? It is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. I go all the way to verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let us pray. Lord, give us what you have prepared for us today. This is the cry of our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. What I believe I need to talk with you this morning, and as a title, is just simple, so you would, everyone would remember it. Beautiful feet. Beautiful feet. I am married and have three children. I've been married for 24 years. Have three children. Two girls, 22, 20. And my son is 16. Beautiful feet. I have daughters. It's amazing to see, like, how women, it's like for us men, like, instinctively, it's like how they would care of themselves. And I'm thinking of, wow, my second daughter, Gaina, you would see her walking around, but at the same time, like, I'm seeing Gaina going in front of me and then, but with a beautiful feet. It's just amazing. They have a way, it's like women, they have a way to turn around, they have a way, it's like they get things done, they have a way of caring for themselves. It's just amazing. And then you just sit there, you don't understand it because we can't understand it all, but it's just beautiful to see women going around you and then they take such good care of themselves. And it's amazing. It's like, why would you do this? Why do you, would you go the extra mile? I don't need to understand it, but it's just beautiful. And I said, I'm married. I've been married for 24 years. I'm clapping. When I love it, I just say, yes, I love it. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And I talk to my wife, Miriam. Keep complimenting, keep saying yes. And really, I love it. Beautiful feet. Beautiful feet. I was born and grown up in Haiti. When you hear about Haiti, for some of you, that's a question, but you don't need to answer. What comes to your mind? Haiti, the country of Haiti. When you hear about Haiti in the media, until today, what comes to your mind? Yeah, poverty. You hear all kind of news, but I don't know lately if you have heard good news in the media. I haven't heard any good news. Because we don't talk about good news. And a lot of people, especially when they have visited Haiti, they would go, they spend a day, but or a week or 2 weeks, then they become an expert at everything. And then they come back and they keep talking about Haiti, and we have a government that doesn't do a good job in terms of promoting Haiti. Government on this earth, they're not going to do these kind of things. They don't see God's creation as we do. So I was born and grown up in Haiti. And Haiti, I add to it the land of darkness. Now this is Haitian talking. Haiti, the land of darkness. Haiti was populated by slaves from Africa. So we were all slaves. And then my grandparents, my forefathers, grandparents, my forefathers, they were all slaves. And then at some point, they wanted to have their freedom. And to get their freedom, they were exposed to the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church was among the people who brought them to that land, Haiti. And when they get there, they realize the God of the Catholic Church didn't see them, didn't understand them. But they know in their heart they needed freedom. So my forefathers did not turn to the God of the Catholic Church. They gathered themselves, they come together on August 14, 1791. They make a big ceremony. And in that big ceremony, they say, Satan, the prince of darkness, if you help us get our freedom, we will dedicate the country to you. I don't know how it happened. Then, November 18, 1803, they were fighting against the French army, the greatest army of that time. November 18, 1803, they won the battle. And they get their independence. So November 1st, 1804, they gathered in the city of Gonaïves, my city, where they proclaim Haiti as an independent country. But a bunch of slaves, 1804, black, they become independent. But they went to whom to get the independence? They went to Satan. So Haiti was built on the wrong foundation. So to work with Haiti, you need to understand the kind of the mindset of the people. They didn't trust really God. They look for their freedom at the wrong source. It was from Satan. And Haitian has been faithfully apply themselves to really serving the devil. And the Bible is very clear why the work of Satan. Satan has come to steal, to destroy, and to kill. He's been doing his work really good in Haiti. So now, I was born and grown up in Haiti. About 50 years ago. So most of the children who were born at the same time like me didn't live to be 5. Of our children, even when I was born, were not going to school. And 85% of my people, they were not even going really to a Catholic church. They were serving the devil. That's a sad situation. This is chaos. Now, we need beautiful feet. Now, we got our independence, 1804, but in June 1942, things were going to change, not for Haiti, but I'm talking about my family. June 1942, my mother was 3 months old. A missionary from the USA got to Haiti, went to the place where my parents, where my grandparents were living, reached out to them, they have accepted Jesus Christ. For you here, it may be, okay, another Christian. He's a Christian. Oh, yeah, he's going to that church. Jesus has come for my family. You don't get it. Jesus has come. But sometimes I'm like, why did it take so long? Why has it taken so long? 1942. Anyway, Jesus has arrived for me. Jesus has arrived for my family. And I love it because when Jesus comes, Jesus never comes to live. When Jesus comes to stay. When Jesus enters a family, he just comes to stay. When Jesus comes into a heart of an individual, Jesus comes to stay. The missionary bring you Jesus, tell you about Jesus, then they leave, but Jesus would not leave. Jesus stay, because this is the nature of our Jesus. This is the nature of our Savior. He is not about their making promises that he would not keep. He said, he is with us. And I find like our situation was so terrible in Haiti. And I am like, that's exactly why Jesus came. Now remember, like, you think of the USA, okay, USA, one of the greatest nations in the world today. You go to so many places, people have almost everything they would need, lots of people, whatever they would need to live. They have riches, they have all of the stuff they need. And now you're thinking of Haiti. Now you're thinking of the USA. The USA, the way it is, even if it offers so many opportunities, it's not heaven. It's not heaven. No, it's not heaven. But let's think of it. Because sin has entered the world. And that's exactly that same sin that has entered Haiti. It caused people to not be able to see. Sin blinds humankind. We cannot see. We cannot see the right God. You cannot see who is really God. You cannot see. We cannot see. We cannot see. And the Father, in His love, He sent all of the prophets. He sent so many people. He chooses Israel that would be guiding us, help guiding us to God. But that was not going to happen. And finally, Jesus needed to come. And the book of Philippians, it says, wow, Jesus has come. Humble Himself. Humble Himself. Jesus has come as the first great, as the greatest missionary. He has come, walking around beautiful feet, bringing peace. I love exactly that sentence. Let me read it the way it is. When we talk about the gospel, we're not talking about any gospel. We preach the gospel of peace. My family needed that peace. As soon as they have accepted Jesus Christ, now my mother, my grandparents started a church, and my mother has been going to that church. And because my mother has been going to that church, later on, they preach, they keep preaching, reaching out to people. My father responded to the gospel as a teenager, has been coming to that church. Now he married my mother. I am from them. I am now not just Haitian, not just a citizen, but I have been exposed to the gospel and have received Jesus Christ. I become the third generation of Christian, of follower of Christ in the country of Haiti. Now you talk about when Jesus comes, He comes to stay, but Jesus is going to stay. Jesus stay in us, with us. We become the Jesus that people will ever see. Maybe in your area, you have so many Christians, you have so many followers of Christ, and you have a church where the Bible is being taught faithfully. You may take it for granted because you have access to it. I did not. My grandparents did not. Haiti did not. So, even if Haiti was exposed to the gospel for about 200 years, there is one way. It's like you can keep going out and making converts. But we have not been called to make converts. We usually love the easy work. We are Christian. We don't like fast food. It's all about fast food. It's ready. It's ready. We need it now. But this is not what we are called to do as Christians. We are called to make disciples. And it takes time. And until today, if I can, as I keep reminding you, Haiti was exposed to the gospel for about 200 years. Now, when you keep hearing about Haiti, if you keep hearing what you are hearing, there is something wrong. This time, there is not something wrong with Haiti, but there is something wrong with the Christians. There is something wrong with the people who are calling themselves followers of Christ. They don't even call themselves followers of Christ because they don't want to be followers of Christ. Following Christ is difficult because it requires some sacrifice. And who wants to do sacrifice anymore? Following Christ requires, like, oh, you want to follow Christ? Oh, you got to keep denying yourself? And you got to kind of take your cross? The cross seems to be something people enjoy to wear now. But during the time of Jesus, it wasn't. That the worst thing that can happen to somebody, taking your cross. The Bible has not changed. We are called to do the same thing, taking our cross. Taking our cross if we want to follow Jesus. Now, the churches in Haiti, they have been really making new converts, but not exactly focusing on making disciples. Now, in the process, think of 1942, a missionary got to my grandparents. From my grandparents, they reached out to me, to my parents. And then from my parents, ministered to me. I have accepted Jesus Christ. Now I was born and grew up in Haiti. Yes, but I have received the greatest blessing, the blessings of salvation. Beside the blessings of salvation, what come up? Because Christ has come, my grandparents, my parents, they were not to spend money to pay for any sacrifice, like to go to the voodoo priest. So, they have enough money. The money they would pay the voodoo priest, they use it to send me to school. So you see, that question of the gospel for us in Haiti, or in my time, it has been a question of life and death situation. When we say it's like we love Jesus, I am not serving a Jesus just who is interested to take me to heaven. Heaven is my final destination. But right here on this earth, I needed Jesus to be able even to be here with you. Because I needed to go to school. I speak with a heavy accent, your language, but this is your language. This is not my language. It's okay to speak it with a heavy accent. You would not be forgiven, but I am forgiven. It's just amazing. So what I'm trying to help you to see is that the gospel, when Jesus come, it's not just, it's like, hey, Jesus is taking me to heaven. Yes, the final destination is I am going to heaven, but heaven starts, begins as soon as Jesus comes. Heaven is right here, right now, because we are here with my, standing on my feet, beautiful feet, sharing the gospel of peace, preaching the gospel of peace. And peace, my family needed it so badly, so much. Satan would keep me away to get an education because my parents would not have enough to keep paying sacrifices. There were 11 children in my family, nine boys, two girls. So my father, my parents would have to pay for this, for everybody, making sacrifice at the beginning and at the end of the year, go and pay the voodoo priest for what? We don't even know. But you don't know it until you happen to know Jesus. And until a missionary would not consider, kind of, would want to leave his comfortable place in the USA to get to the jungle of Haiti in the name of Jesus. But also, it's kind of strange. Like, no one can be a Christian and without being also kind of strange. I'm not saying it. The Bible says it. The gospel is a foolish for those who are out there because they don't understand the way we don't think. Now, Lee and Rita and I have Kathy here. Kathy herself has been a missionary to Haiti. That's insane. It's like leaving the beautiful Pennsylvania, and then she's going to Haiti, and then talking to her friends, and then saying like, yeah, I receive a call, I have to go to Haiti, and so on, and I'm like, yes, I need to be in Haiti. For what? Are you crazy? A lot of my friends, even today, when I just received a vet, he's turning 89 years old in August. Last week he's been in Haiti with me, and then lots of people, grandchildren, everybody, they're like, Grandpa, you're crazy. Yes. What's wrong with that? He's crazy. But he's crazy for Jesus. Who could have received Jesus and not become crazy? Because Jesus got crazy himself. Jesus left heaven. So considering like your place, considering the call, what Jesus wants you to be doing, it's great we come and enjoy this great service. I love it. But this is not the end of our call. This is the place where we come to get sharpened and to sharpen each other. But we are called to serve the sick. The church as well. And that's why I felt so comfortable when we were worshiping. And that's how I'm with you, but I don't feel like a stranger. Because we don't talk about his blood, but we have experienced his blood, which washed us, cleaned us, and bring us into his kingdom. And the kingdom is so wide. It's not just like Millersville, as the pastor just mentioned. It's just Jesus is about to do something greater than we can even think or imagine. Because he has redeemed us. He is taking us to heaven. He is taking us to where he is. But we need to get the job done. It's us now. It's our turn. And when I say I love Jesus with all of my heart, I don't know for you what it means. But for me, if it were not for Jesus, I told you, I was born and grown up in Haiti. Now, a missionary got to Haiti. Now, they got my grandparents, they got my parents, and they got me and my children. The fourth generations of followers of Christ. Can you believe that? Like my grandchildren are going to be the fifth? Woo! So this is life. Christ has come to change the world, to transform the world. But he is using person like me, person like you. Now, when I heard that my forefathers dedicated Haiti to the devil, I was like, how could they do that? But at some point in time, someone needs to be taking responsibility for you. For example, no one here could not choose in which hospital they wanted to be born. No one here could not choose to say, okay, I want to be the citizen of the United States of America. That's something that was just given to you. You are not that smart. You didn't have kind of the opportunity to choose. It was just hand over to you. So you see, if I would be critical about my forefathers, it's like they would be looking at me. It's like, if they could, it's like, Eva, you don't get it. We didn't know. My grandparents happened to know until a missionary from the USA, until somebody who wanted to go. I love, it's like what your church stands for. Your church stands for knowing, the second one, growing, and the third one, going. What a church. I love this church. Because you may be doing all of this, knowing. When you have the knowledge, if you are not doing anything with the knowledge, what is it good for? Because you don't impart knowledge, you don't receive knowledge, so that you would keep going around there and become like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. We have been having all of these people around forever. And Jesus Christ needed to come anyway. Are you with me? We never have a problem of knowledge. Humankind have been always looking for knowledge, and they got it. But they don't know how to use it. They have been misusing it. They become too important. They could not humble themselves. So they cannot grow. If they grow, it's like they grow for themselves. You grow in contact with other people, with other human beings. You grow, you become mature. Now, even if you have the knowledge, okay, you have experienced the growth, and what are you going to do with it? You're not going? Praise God for that missionary who left Haiti, the USA, get to Haiti. And right now, me was born, where I was born in Haiti, the Lord has impressed it on my heart to start a ministry called ICDM. That's the short name, but International Christian Development Mission. With the idea that we would become a platform, a place where all evangelical churches, we are non-denominational, where people would come to learn, to be equipped and empowered to serve our God, to make disciples of first Haitians. Now we've been receiving missionaries forever. We are on our way to be sending missionaries also. Was born there. Our ministry has expanded into Colombia, South America. We are also working very seriously in the Dominican Republic. Started right there in that little place you visited, in the middle of nowhere. There's a lot of noise going on there, and you know how it becomes so loud. Jesus has come. When Jesus comes, you can't be silent anymore. When Jesus comes, it's going to be loud. You don't like noise? I understand. There's some places, it's like you in the U.S., it's so quiet. Yes. Sometimes I love it too. But as Christians spiritually, we cannot be
We are not called to be so quiet.
Because Jesus has come. So much noise is going in Bayonne, in Haiti, where I am from. It's like, and then people keep asking, what's going on? Even like missionaries like Kathy, who's been a missionary like to Haiti, keep asking, why? What is going on in Haiti? And then like, Jesus has come. When Jesus has come, yes, people will keep asking, what's going on? What are you up to? You are where you are placed, at your work. You are at your university. You are at home. It's like, it's all about, it's noisy. And then people are like, oh, why don't you keep your faith for yourself? How can I keep it for myself? I'm not the only human being who needed it. And if I don't talk, if I don't preach, if I don't live it, how will they hear? How will they come to know him too? This is my invitation to you. Let's keep going. Let's keep moving around. Let's keep telling people about Jesus. Now, as the result of a ministry like ours, over 100 churches are benefiting of the impact of our ministry. About 150,000 people get engaged this way. So now, one person can make a big difference when it is not really the person. Jesus wants to make big difference through whoever will. Respond for whoever will say yes to Jesus. Because I could not believe when my grandparents say yes in 1942, it was really the beginning of such a great revival, like we really were going to take Haiti. Haiti has only 10 states. Our ministry, we have our presence already in 5 of them. So we're taking the land. Now, I might have been sitting in the corner complaining how bad Haiti is. It's like, oh yeah, my forefathers, you know, dedicated the land to the devil and so on and so on and so on. And then the Spirit of the Lord needed to remind me, even stop it. Your forefathers are not any more responsible. So even you don't have time to get depressed. It is me. This is the new day. Jesus has come. Jesus has arrived. Get busy. Now get busy about what? Telling people about me. Who am I? Except what Jesus made me. So I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about we need to keep bringing the gospel, that gospel of peace. We have 1,500 children in our schools, providing meals to them every day. And we have medical clinic. We try to do everything so we can reach more people. Now, the same voodoo priest who made the ceremony to dedicate the land to the devil, now they are sending their children to our school. Thank you. One of them sent 10 of his children to our school. So what does it mean? It means they are not going to replace him. Because every year, 98% of our children accept Jesus. So now they go back home and reach out to their own families. We are taking the land. Satan did not create anything. He has come to steal, He has come to destroy. He has come to kill. In the midst of that chaos, we got to stand up. And we will continue to stand because it is the will of Jesus Christ. Not just it is His will, He has sent the Holy Spirit. So we are not doing it in our own power. We are doing it because we have been empowered. Lately I've been hearing a lot and news all over the world. This is not the best place to be. The world in general. It is the best time for a Christian. The best time for a Christian. We got to stand. As it is still daytime, let's continue to stand. Let's continue to be like that missionary who visited Haiti in June 1942. I love history, and I love also like family history. When I take it looking, thinking of my forefather, grandparents, to see today what is going on with the gospel in Haiti, I am like, only God could have done that. And my invitation to you, would you want to stand with us? Now, when you hear about Haiti, don't hear about Haiti from what the media is saying. Let's look at Haiti with God's eyes. Great things are happening. And I think the lowest Haiti has been, the greatest is going to be the glory. The lowest Haiti has been, the greatest is going to be the glory. Would you want to believe that with me? We're going to believe it. We will keep working to see it and to make it happen. Now, a lot of the children I started working with when I was in October 1989, they are also back to the place where they have been raised and then working with their own people. The Lord has used me for years as a trainer of trainers. Now it is the time I'm going to get into my old age, and I am like, the Lord, if you want to take me, it's okay. But the Lord has given me the privilege to see so many things I've been talking about right before my eyes. They come to happen. And the beauty of it, this is a ministry that is functioning, that is, when you talk faith, it's only by faith. Until today, I should have been sitting in the corner complaining, I know what God wants me to be doing, but I don't have this, I don't have that, I don't have the budget, I don't have, you know how it's easy for us to get so many excuses. And I would be like, yeah, let me do this, let me do that first. Let me make sure of my retirement. Let me make sure of all of these. And then, retirement, yes, I believe in retirement too, but I believe in the work, getting the work done. But it is the Lord who has given the faith. But He has given me a little bit of faith. He says, you start. And for about 27 years now, I have been waiting for my partners. I've been all about recruiting friends for our ministry. Recruiting friends not just for our ministry, but it is for the kingdom. We work with all denominations because this is a place with our ministry where we have people just to come, raise them together, so for a greater purpose. So I need, I'm glad your pastor has allowed me to come and to speak to you, but I'm a missionary by heart. And a missionary, sometimes some people, when they hear about missionary, some Christians get scared because missionary begs. I don't. Because we are not called to beg. We are called to say what we see Jesus is doing. And in the process, when we say we need you, I'm not talking about we need your finances, just your finances. I need you. Where are the nurses? Where are the school teachers? Where are the accountants? Where are the welders? Where are the builders? I need you. We still have a very young nation. So many young people. We need to train them. We need to offer them a trade. We need, it's not like a place, how I would say it, like where we just keep giving stuff to people. We are raising a new generation, people that are willing to take care of themselves, people that are willing to step up. We are teaching people how to fish instead of keep on giving them a fish. We ask you to join us, to stand together with us, because Satan did not create Haiti, but God has. And because God has, God is in the business of raising his church together. So we take the entire land. It's possible. Your pastor, I hope, and that's my prayer, he is so well educated, but beside his education, he has the heart for God. So I hear a few of his sermon. He is on fire. Allow yourself to catch that same fire, because the world needs you. Haiti needs you. ICDM needs your partnership. Your partnership is not like, hey, you just are supporting a missionary somewhere. Let's be in it together. We are taking the nation of Haiti back to our God. You will continue to stand with me. It keeps coming. Beautiful feet. Feet that is bringing peace. When they see you in Haiti, you know you've been there in the name of Jesus. And who will qualify you to go? The Holy Spirit. So, thank you so very much. I have a DVD. That's how I would like to close the sermon today. But thank you so much. Please go ahead and play it. Thank you so much, Pastor. Thank you so much, Church. I am Yvan Pierre, and the president of the International Christian Development Mission. For these past 20 years, we've been engaged in educating, equipping, and empowering the children so that they can become the best they can be to the glory of our God. Call them, they are very happy to come and see, because they think it's their turn to get a sponsor. When they get a sponsor, they know they will be able to keep going to school. You are helping someone to get an education. You are helping a child. So we have to feed all of the children. Okay? And the clinic also is for all children. Okay? So when you are a child, you are in our school, you have all the benefits.
Sponsorship la se yon program ki permet ti moun yo ki pa kapab ale l'ekol, pou yo kapab jwenn et pou yo ale l'ekol, e sa ki fini l'ekol tou ki pa kapab ale nan universite, e li permet yo jwenn chans pou yo kapab ale. E mwen wè sa li tre bon, se sa mwen pense de program sponsorship la.
Mwen pense program bous la important pil, parce que même j'en m'avais étudié dans nos ICDM, je voulais que mon monde devienne demain. Moi-même tout après études même, les ma travail, ma bien engouement pour supporter l'autre monde qui veut continuer dans niveau scolaire. Moi pense que ICDM a fait un bon travail et moi-même tout demain si je veux me garder sur eux pour copier sur eux pour faire de bagages qui vont tout. Merci.
It's an extremely rewarding feeling to be able to contribute to the life of children who such an early age are in need of so much. And as a sponsor, it's also a great benefit to be able to come to Haiti and experience firsthand the benefits that are being provided to these kids through education, health, food program, and all the other programs that ICDM has put together for them and the community around here. I'm asking you please to join us because we have so many more children that are waiting to be helped and sponsored. Please, would you join ICDM in providing life-changing experience to 1,000 more children? So the gospel is marching on. The soldiers of God's army is marching on. It started with my family in 1942 when a missionary wanted to go. And look at what has happened. A missionary wanted to go in the name of Jesus. So my whole entire family has been rescued. We've finally heard about Jesus. And then, right now, 5,300 pastors and Christian leaders graduated from our Bible school and the School of Evangelism in Haiti. 6 new churches were planted in the Dominican Republic. Many, many churches in the country of Colombia are getting the benefits of our training. We need all kind of workers. I know you will want to share your pastor with me for a long weekend, or if Sunday is too difficult, it's going to be just on weekdays. So I'm giving you my prayer request. Please, I never have an opportunity to talk about wants. I only talk about needs. And the main needs we have is like we need you. You can help us make a big, big difference in God's kingdom. And remember, whenever you are thinking about Haiti, it's not just like another mission field, but we are just, it's a mission field, but we are mostly taking Haiti back to our God. The lowest it has been, the greatest will be the glory. Thank you so much, George. Amen.
Pastor Yvonne, thank you so much for sharing with us this morning. Thank you for being here. Thank you guys as well for joining us. And they brought some brochures, and they're out there by the coffee bar area. If you didn't grab one, if you want to grab one, feel free to grab one. There's more information on ICDM. Also, their website, it was up on the screen. Very, very easy to remember. It's just simply icdm.us. Go to the website. Check it out if you want to find out more information. Maybe look at areas where God may be asking you to connect. And so, brother, I just keep thinking of John chapter 1. Where we're told that the light has shone in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. So, amen. His kingdom is moving. Whereas C.S. Lewis says, Aslan is on the move, right? So, brother, may the Lord continue to bless you and ICDM and the great nation of Haiti. Let's stand together for our benediction and let's say this out loud. Let's pray this over one another. The priestly blessing from Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. Let's pray together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Go and be those beautiful feet of peace this week. Amen.